Welcome back to Season 2 of the Cultural Cultivators podcast by Belai Creative and Cultivate Labs, where we delve into various aspects of Vilam culture and speak with entrepreneurs, leaders, artists, and creators who are shaping and pushing the boundaries of their respective fields. Join us on this exciting journey as we cultivate a greater appreciation for the beauty and complexity of the Vilam experience. Follow us on all social media platforms at Belai Creative or cultural.cultivators, both with a K. Catherine Serrano, author of the children's book Kalayaan, Filipina Heroines of World War II, co-host of Future Ancestors podcast, and director of A Passage to Hope, channels her spirituality, womanhood, and motherhood into creating art that inspires and empowers. By sharing stories that resonate with diverse audiences, she hopes to spread positivity and inspire change. She joins us as a perfect guest to kick off our Season 2 and celebrate Women's History Month. In this conversation, Kat talks about how she embraced her role as a storyteller and why it's important to cultivate our cultural stories.
I can't take things for granted knowing what happened before me. For me, I just want to make sure that I do the work as well. They did it differently. They literally fought in combat and in war. And for me, it's to spread more love and more peace and more education and stories about who we are to hopefully help heal the next generation, because we need it. We're the titas now, you know? It's our job now to take care of the next generations. How can we help them be better than us? Like, our ancestors did that for us. You know, they fought for our freedom. How do we help to fight the next generation's freedom? What are we doing for them? It looks different, but is it mentally? Is it spiritually? Is it exposing them to another way of living?
Also in this conversation, Kat takes us behind the scenes of Kalayaan and how writing the book helped her connect more with her Filipino identity. We talk about the importance of ancestral healing for Filipino Americans and how flow, discernment, grace, and vulnerability are important tools for reconnecting with your community and creating work with purpose. You can find Kat on Instagram at The Katosphere or at our website at thekatosphere.com. All right, Kat, thank you so much for taking time out of your super busy weekends to talk and chat with us. You are our first episode of Season 2. I am so honored to have you here. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. And yeah, I'm excited to have a conversation with you and be on here. Thank you.
So before we begin with any other questions, I always ask all my guests this first question, which is, are there any ancestors or even people that have transitioned on that aren't related to you you'd like to call into this conversation today to help ground us in this space and this connection?
Yes. So I just want to welcome any of my ancestors who serve my best and highest good and want to be a part of this conversation. They live through us, so I just welcome all of them.
Beautiful. I also wanted to ask, because you're also in production, you're a storyteller, and I noticed this beautiful quote in your email signature that states, the idea is not to live forever, but create something that will. So as the co-founder of Trendsetters Productions, what has your journey been like in taking on content creation and storytelling in service of community and for our culture?
So for me, I've always loved storytelling. I feel like you learn so much from people and you learn that you're not alone when you find out about someone's story. So for me, storytelling for our community has been amazing and very healing, because I've learned that I'm not the only one who is not familiar with our history or that doesn't speak our language, and it builds community. So it's been a fun journey, shifting gears and focusing on our culture and sharing our stories.
Yes. And speaking of sharing our stories, one of the reasons why I picked you for our first episode is because you actually wrote a book, Kalayaan, Inspiring Stories of Filipino Heroines of World War II. And, you know, I think a lot of Filipino Americans don't know and realize that during World War II, the Philippines was a U.S. Commonwealth. And so Filipinos in the Philippines were heavily involved in the war effort in World War II. There are up to, I think, 260,000 Filipinos fighting alongside American forces during the war. And part of those fighters were women who were helping guerrillas lead resistance movements against the Japanese in the Philippines. So knowing all that, what inspired you to write this children's book about female heroines during this era?
I've always been pro-woman. Like, I've always loved women and believed in the unity of women. So the first story that I came upon was Commander Li YY. And I felt like she was my spirit animal. You know, I loved how dynamic she was. She cared about the way that she looked. She had her nails done. She would wear lipstick. But she was also a commander and like the first in line and was right there with the men, you know, fighting. And that's me. I feel like I would do both if I was in that time, you know. For me, it was a book for my younger self. Like, I really had a lot of identity crisis growing up. I didn't know enough about our culture. I didn't grow up with Filipinos, so it was very lonely. Writing about these women was so healing. Filipinas are normally known to be subservient, very docile, you know, and it was complete opposite. And it made me feel seen because I'm not that way. And I wanted little girls and boys to know our history and that these women existed. And I wanted their stories to be told because I think that they're important and so valuable that we should continue knowing more about them. Their names should be more out there. You know, we grew up knowing about Rosa Parks and Amelia Earhart, the first woman, you know, to fly a plane, or, you know, Rosa Parks who stood up for resistance, but so did we. And that meant a lot to me. It resonated the fact that there were these other women who looked like me that come from where I come from, you know, they were in our blood, you know? So I was excited to find their stories.
I love that. My grandmother actually helped with the guerrilla movements in her hometown of Dipolog in Mindanao during World War II. And she helped with, fighting the Japanese fighters during the war movement as well. So having this book, I think, is so powerful for children that look like us, you know, our descendants. So thank you for the work that you did on this book.
Thank you. I wanted to make sure that I focus on their stories and who they were as women because it's a children's book and children are so impressionable. I don't make mention of the Japanese. And I also share it in a way of inspiration for the reader to take from, you know?
I love it. How did you actually choose which Filipinas to highlight in the book? Because I'm sure that was a hard task with so many inspiring Filipinas.
It actually really was. And there were some that I couldn't put in because, you know, they were standing up for comfort women, which I couldn't explain that to children, you know? So the women that I did choose were dynamic and safe, so to speak, to share with the younger generation to understand that these women did exist and they contributed in a positive way doing, you know, what they did. I want a child to identify with each woman in whatever phase or stage they were in. So whether it be sick, which is Josefina Guerrero, she had leprosy. You know, if a child who's sick reads this story, I'm hoping that they can identify with her and know that even though they're sick, they can still stand and fight for something. You know what I mean? Or Simeona Bonsalan, she was described as a big-bodied woman who loved to wear men's clothing. Like, I'm hoping that, you know, a child can identify with that as well. If you have a big body or if, you know, you do like wearing men's clothing, like, it's fun. You can still resonate with that and be seen in this book.
I love that. I love that messaging that sickness or disease does not define you or your possibilities in life.
Exactly. It also shows how dynamic we are as a people, you know? I mean, we have a chemist, a teacher. There was a teacher in there who went from teacher to guerrilla warrior, you know, to a warrior, to a heroine, you know, or a beauty queen. So it's like just every day women who ended up changing and following their heart and fighting for our freedom.
Yes.
Stepping up to the plate, you know?
Yes, rising up. I love it.
Yes.
It's such a great theme and message for Women's History Month, not just for children, I think, but all people and the impact that women have.
It's funny that you say all people, because I've had a lot of moms or even grandmothers, Lolas, come up to me and be like, I didn't know that this person did that, or wow, this is so great. Like, you know, the fact that they're so inspiring and they fought and did this for us. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm amazed at how many people didn't know the way I didn't know, you know?
Yeah, but also I'm not, because of colonization.
Well, yes.
That too.
Yeah,
but that's
yes.
why this work is important. Just like the College of Ethnic Studies is important,
yes.
and the work that instructors and professors do in educating generations now on the importance of looking back at not only European-centered history, but all history that impacts
yes.
America. So
exactly.
that's why I wanted to bring you onto our podcast, because this is important work.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
In one of your interviews when describing this book, you talk about finding strength in our ancestors. I wanted to ask, what does that look like for you? And also for folks who are new to connecting back to our culture, like you said, you didn't grow up with a ton of Filipinos. How can people who are just connecting back to Filipino culture, how can they find strength in their ancestors?
So for me, it's reading and just learning more about our history and our culture. You know, I just came back from the Philippines and I'm still processing all of it, but really reading and studying and going after your own history is very healing. And that's how I've been able to connect, because at the end of the day, we really are one. You start to understand yourself more, and also building community, talking to other Filipinos and starting to build a friendship and having those hard conversations that maybe you don't want to talk about because you don't want to look stupid or you feel ashamed because you don't know certain things. I feel like giving ourselves grace with not knowing our history and culture is one thing, and then also being okay with not knowing anything and going after it.
Yes, that part. I think a lot of people, myself included, you know, and I grew up with Filipinos everywhere. I grew up in the Bay. So I thought it was actually normal to have Filipinos everywhere. It wasn't until I moved to New York when I was like, where are all the Filipinos? So you saying that, having grace for yourself during this journey of decolonizing, connecting back to your roots, to even folks say re-indigenizing yourself, I think is one of the key tools in this journey. So thank you for saying that.
One more thing that I want to add is to be okay with the pain, because it's very painful. For me, it was, at least. To unlearn and learn again is like a rug being swept from under you. You're just like, wow, everything that I knew is wrong. It's going to be a process and it is a journey, but it's so worth it, because I mean, the best person to invest in is yourself, you know? That's how you can show up as your best self.
Yes, I love that. We met briefly while I was in New York in January, 2 months ago.
I was so grateful to meet you. I feel like I've known you forever, even though we only met that one time.
Yeah.
Like, your spirit is, I don't know, kindred spirits, I guess, right?
100% kindred spirits. And the reason why I connected with you out in New York was because someone put me onto your podcast, Future Ancestors, and they were like, you guys have similar themes, you interview similar people, your interview style is similar, you should really get onto Future Ancestors. And I'm so glad, I think it was my boss, Desi, who put me onto your podcast. I'm so glad he did that, because it allowed me to connect with you and see that we are not alone in the intention we have for this world and our community. And I just wanted to talk more about your podcast, Future Ancestors, and how it even started.
Yeah, so It's funny because Jason and I have known each other for a really long time, and but we've never worked together. But I was throwing a book launch party, and I don't know, something in my spirit was like, ask Jason if he'll host. And I was like, okay, cool. So called him, asked him to host, and him and I just started talking about how we were feeling. And I actually was always going to start a podcast. I just wasn't sure how or what. So when I was talking to Jason, I was telling him about it, and Jason is one of the most kindest people you will ever meet. And like in true form, he said, I'll help you. I will support you in doing your podcast. And I said, no. I want you to be my partner. Like, let's go in, be my co-host. And then it just started from there.
So during this process with future ancestors, is there anything new you've come to learn about yourself or any healing you experienced through your interviews?
Every story is so impactful to me because I just love seeing our people in the spaces that they're in. I love to see us take up space, period. Because I don't know, for me growing up, it was like seen and not heard. So to see us taking up space and speaking up louder and just owning our craft and who we are, it's just so beautiful. So it is healing in a way for me to take up more space as well. And I've been learning a lot. One thing that I always knew was about our food. Other than that, like history, art, all of that stuff, I didn't know any of that. So I'm always inspired by everyone that we talk to.
I love this idea of taking up space. And this is why I always encourage folks to create stories, to start a podcast, to do what they can as Filipino Americans, because we get to take up space. I don't like seeing ourselves as competition.
Exactly, because we're not.
No, it's taking up space.
Exactly. And it's beautiful. So, and I think that if we came together more, like with what we're doing right now, like you having me on your podcast, I'd love to have you on our podcast. I think that's what it's about, building that community and supporting one another where we are,
Yes, and taking out this whole crab mentality.
Oh my gosh, what is that? I mean, before coming into the Filipino community, I couldn't wait. And then when I got in and I was like, wow, I'm like, what is this? I'm like, this, why is there conversation? I was like, you know what? I'm gonna keep my head down, focus on what I need to focus on and keep it moving. Because if I allow myself to get distracted by the crab mentality, I would go nowhere.
Yeah. So crab mentality, just to explain a little bit for listeners who are new to this, it's basically this idea that we're all crabs in a barrel. And when one crab starts to climb their way out of the barrel, the other crabs pull that person down. Whether that's jealousy, competition, or just not wanting to see that person leave.
Yes. And
And
succeed. Yeah.
succeed. And so my whole thought with this crab mentality, because I've seen it time and time again in our community, especially growing up here on the West Coast, is we need to just all break this barrel apart, and all be free. And in my metaphor, the barrel is colonization, it's colonialism, it's racism, it's sexism, it's all the negative isms.
Colorism.
Yes. That
Colorism.
exists within our culture, and all of it can stem to the colonization of the Philippines, I think. And so, for us in this new generation and new era of Phil-Am creatives, I like to think that we are barrel busters. I mean, I can
I
think of
love
a different word, but just like
that.
breaking those barrels apart, I think is what we're doing with our podcasts, with our books, with our projects, with our manifestations and creations. And that's why I was so excited to have you on episode one of season two, because that's exactly what we're doing.
I love that. Thank you for doing what you do. We, like you said, we do need more examples of it. I think that we need to start normalizing what we're doing because I feel like we're used to the crab mentality. It's been around for a really long time. And I agree with you. I definitely feel like it's because of colonization for sure.
So I actually have a question that kind of like relates, but maybe not. So I know Filipino communities are different, reflecting on local cultures and geographies. And my question to you, are there any unique aspects you observed now that you've sort of gotten more involved with the New York East Coast Filipinos? Is there any differences between West Coast and East Coast? Because I know we have a following in New York, a small following in New York, some on the East Coast, some in Pennsylvania and West Virginia.
That's awesome. I don't know that there's anything different. I think that we think we're different. I mean, listen, I'm sure that there are differences. For me, I'm just going to say that I'll share the commonality. I think that at the end of the day, we're all really hungry to know more about ourselves. Because I think that's why you, with your podcast, because we share similar content, that's why you have followers in New York and Virginia and Pennsylvania, because they want to know more about what you're, about the guests that you're sharing, and vice versa. We have people on the West Coast as well. So the commonality I see is that people really care and really do want to know, because you do deep work like we do deep work. You know, I mean, I guess we have entertainers and stuff like that and stuff, but you know, at the end of the day, it's really to share our stories so that way they become more accessible. And that matters. I love that you said that you have listeners on the East Coast, because it goes to show that what we're doing is meaningful and it's impactful and it's needed.
Yes. And I know also in the past you mentioned our ancestors fight for the freedom to be. Can you talk more about this and how it manifests itself in your podcast or even just in your own life?
I feel like I can't take things for granted knowing what happened before me. I remember I saw a video or something of a jungle and I sent it to my friend. I was like, yeah, I would have died. You know, like, I don't understand how these women were in the jungle on their feet, like just like barefoot fighting with not like I could what? I couldn't even fathom it. And I was just like, I cannot take what I have for granted anymore. For me, I just want to make sure that I do the work as well. They did it differently. They literally fought in combat and in war. And for me, it's to spread more love and more peace and more education and stories about who we are to hopefully help heal the next generation, because we need it. I'm seeing a lot that's going on out there and we need people like us to step in. We're the titas now, you know? It's our job now to take care of the next generations. How can we help them be better than us? Like our ancestors did that for us. You know, they fought for our freedom. How do we help to fight the next generation's freedom? What are we doing for them? It looks different, but is it mentally? Is it spiritual? Is it exposing them to another way of living? I mean, this is a touchy subject, but religion. Religion is a whole
Let's get into it.
I mean, listen, I respect however anyone wants to. Religion is hard.
It was a tool to control by the colonizer. Let's just say it for a really long time. It was a tool of control.
And it still does. And it's painful for me to see, because I see it and I'm just like, but you do things in fear. And if you want to talk about religion, about the Bible, then if God is love and perfect love casts out all fear, then what are you doing? It contradicts itself so much, but it's because it's a condition. Religion is a condition that has been passed on. And it hurts me when I see people, they're doing things in the name of God, aka religion, because it's a different experience, you know? It's not out of love, it's out of fear. And God is not fear. God is love. So it's like you really have to be open and pay attention to the intention when you're doing things.
Yes. It's a good temperature check to be like, am I choosing this out of fear? Is this a fear-based choice? Or am I choosing this out of love and joy and intention that feels empowering?
Exactly. Exactly. And then if you want to be others-minded and bring other people involved, right? Let's say you're, you know, when you're sharing, you know, you have to be mindful too. Like sometimes I won't share about how I feel about religion because I know that it won't benefit. It's using discernment, knowing when to speak and when not to. That's a really touchy subject. I have, you know, family members who are super religious. I brought my tarot cards out in front of them. I don't know how they feel, but they didn't say anything. They allowed me to be me and I allow them to be them. And we just have this understanding that it is what it is.
Yes. I had the same thing happen with me. Even sometimes when I talk about ancestors around my super Christian friends, they don't get it. They think it's like of the devil.
Yeah, which is so interesting because if they took their religion and they looked at Mother Mary or all the saints that they look up to, right? What's their perception of that? Like, we can't have ancestors in our bloodline, but you can believe in the saints that you have. You know what I'm saying? It's just so different.
Mm-hmm. I also feel like, why would anything my ancestors helped me with be of the devil if my ancestors did live here and they followed God? A lot of my ancestors are Catholic. So.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't to me either.
But I 100% understand what you were saying earlier about us being the titas and us creating new spaces for future generations, our descendants, to have these spaces that are, one, mentally and spiritually healthier to be in, right? To also, like we were saying, the freedom to be. And so when I was picking a name for my son, I intentionally picked part of his name. I'm not going to say what because I respect his privacy, but part of his name is non-binary. Because I thought, you know, what if he doesn't, as an adult, want to be he? Maybe he wants to be non-binary. You know, maybe there's a possibility of that. If that is a possibility, I want to gift him with a name that can be non-binary. And so I think that's an example of the work you're talking about, right? Being those kinds of titas that aren't judgmental, that aren't like all focused on conditional love.
Exactly. Exactly. Being open, holding these safe spaces for the younger generation to explore. You know, I mean, our ancestors came to America to give us a better life. I'll talk about specifically my grandmother, who's not here with me anymore. You know, I know that she came to the Philippines because she wanted a better life. She brought my mother over because that's what she wanted for her. And then I was blessed enough to be born here. You know, like, at the end of the day, it is what it is. America is what it is. Okay, I have like a really hard time because I'm not really liking America right now. But just because of what's happening in Palestine and just the way that it's been lately, it's just not it. But America, we have the freedom of using our voice. You can't do that everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, being able to write a book about the women that I wrote about and the freedom to do that. I mean, even the freedom for us right now to have this podcast conversation. You can't do that everywhere. And we are fortunate enough to be in America. I felt like the need to explain it because I felt shame being a Filipino American. Because I felt like I wasn't good enough to be Filipino, if that makes sense. It's probably really weird and twisted, but because I didn't speak the language and all of that stuff, I carried shame. It was like I wasn't Filipino enough because I was born in America. And I counter that by saying, I'm actually grateful that I was born in America because it gives me a different opportunity to be able to bring back home or to be able to, like what we're doing now, host a podcast and write a book to contribute to the Philippines. The book is now in the Philippines at the Filipino Heritage Library. And I'm not going to stop there. I'm definitely going to host fundraisers to help back home, not just here, you know? So I feel like us being born in America gives us opportunity. And I don't take that lightly. I definitely want to make sure that I contribute as much as I can in a positive way. Yeah.
I love that. No, 100%. You know, I think there's this thing right between generations where our grandparents will say, look at how much you have. You know, the privileges you have. You're so spoiled. Compared to what we had to endure and struggle through in the Philippines, which 100%, I went back to my grandmother's hometown and just seeing the poverty levels there. You know, they treated us, you know, Balikbayans, folks who come from the U.S., like royalty. But then you see the locals and they literally have nothing. And just the discrepancy between that was prime example of, yes, we have so much here that unless you go back to the Philippines, you don't understand.
I did change my mindset with that because I did carry guilt like, oh, I'm so spoiled because I'm born here in America. But to me, I was like, but you did that. You came here so I could be better and be who I am. So I'm not going to hold any shame with that anymore. I'm going to let that go. And I'm going to be empowered by the fact that I'm here because I can do better. I can, you know, with empowerment than feeling this guilt and shame of being who I am because I'm this spoiled Filipino American. It's not that at all. Like, I'm actually doing the work. Like you said, like, we're doing this work so we can be better. But I could do that because I'm here in America, which is what you wanted for me, if that makes sense.
Yes, 100%. This is what I say all the time is like, we're not just our ancestors' wildest dreams manifested. We are also their healing.
Yes. Yes.
We get to be their healing.
Yes. That's why when you ask, you know, who I wanted to welcome in, it's kind of like, you know, they live through us right now. So whoever serves my best and highest good, I want you to be here in this moment with me and share this conversation with us. But holding these spaces, having these conversations are so important.
100%. Yes. And that's why I also think, okay, I could do so much in my own capacity, mental, physical, spiritual, but I do this work with the hopes that one day my son will listen to these podcasts and do better.
Yeah.
And go farther.
Yeah, of course.
And rise up higher, you know.
And he will. And I can say that wholeheartedly because of the way that my children are. My son turned 20 a couple weeks ago, and I remember when my kids were younger, I'm like, oh my gosh, I am totally fucking them up. I remember the day I was like, you know what? They're going to need therapy when they're older. And that's okay. Like, it's totally, I took that pressure off of myself. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I will help them when they say, you know what, mom, I need therapy. My middle already has told me. He's like, I want to go to therapy. So he's been going. Because you have to remember, we carried 7 generations of trauma.
Yes.
7. But you know what I heard recently? That you can heal 7 generations backwards and forward.
How? Tell me.
You're doing it already. You healing yourself is healing the generations before you because you're taking it upon yourself not to do it again. So you're already doing the work and healing 7 generations for it is because you're already planting the seed needed.
Mm, that's so beautiful. What's so crazy is that I knew that instinctually. I've written something in a journal a long time ago saying if I go to therapy and heal myself, I am not only healing myself and hopefully my descendants, but my ancestors as well, because they never had the capacity or ability to go therapy. You know, what is that? And during World War II, are you kidding me?
Exactly. But that's the thing. So our ancestors were in the war. They're fighting. They're not thinking about it. It's all about survival for them, you know? And then our parents are the ones that had to actually experience having parents like that. Or, you know what I mean? I mean, our grandparents, sorry. That's a part of our trauma, you know, all of that. But it's also now with us, because we're more aware, we're doing the work, we're able to heal that for them, which is beautiful. I mean, it's heavy and it sucks. It sucked when I didn't realize what I was doing. You know what I mean? Like in the moment going through it, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, it sucks. Like, why do I care so much about things that no one else cares about? Why? And it's because it's mine. My son, he was drawn to the Malcolm X movie and the Dr. King movie. And he was like, I don't know. He's like, why I feel this thing in my heart every time I see these movies. And I said, listen, I said, if you feel that, I was like, it's because it's yours. I was like, explore it more. See what you're supposed to be doing with that. How does it make you feel? Why do you think you feel this way? You know what I mean? Explore it. It's a lot.
It's a lot, but I learned this from my husband. It's a get to.
Yes.
And I think if we reframe our perspective to, it's not I have to do this work, it's a get to. I get to do this work. Then it becomes more of a gift rather than a burden.
1,000%. Yeah, I actually use that as well. With work, I wasn't exactly liking it at the time. So I was like, okay, you get to go to work and make this money. You get to go to work and have this experience. You know what I mean? Like, I had to talk myself into it. By saying I get to.
100%. Just like anything. I was laughing because like marriage, it's a get to.
Yeah, exactly. A long get to, but you get to.
It's a decision. It's a choice you make every day to wake up next to this person and get to work with each other on this.
Yes. Actually, you know, I've never used that in my marriage. I'm going to use that. That's going to be very helpful.
You're welcome, girl.
Thank you.
From one mom to the other.
Yeah. Yes. I love that.
All right. So I wanted to ask, what advice do you give other folks who are just tapping back into their communities and creating work that resonates with purpose, with their souls, with their kapwa? What advice do you give to those people?
Trust yourself and follow your gut, your heart, and be fearless doing it, because it's intimidating sometimes trying to build community. But if you trust yourself and you know your own voice, like, you know, listen to your intuition and be fearless doing it.
I love that answer, because it also kind of circling back to this word of discernment. In my eyes, discernment also brings in the aspect of spirit. And having spirit help you decide, help you view things in a more spiritual way with spiritual guidance. And I believe when you work on your intuition, just like you're saying right now in this advice, it's your intuition with discernment.
Yes, 1000%. And trusting that. And being okay with it. And being okay with letting go of an opportunity you think this is it. If your gut and your intuition and your discernment is saying, don't do it, don't do it. Flow. Don't force anything. Just let things flow. That's where I'm at. I mean, even our conversation today, I had answers and everything thought out, things that I wanted to say. I couldn't get to the answers and stuff. And I was like, you know what? We're just going to flow. And honestly, that's where I've been the past couple of years, is just flowing. And it's been so peaceful. It's been working for me, because I used to want to control things. I don't control anything anymore. The things that people are seeing are just things that, you know, I think about and I want to do, and it's because it's meant to happen. I'm not forcing anything anymore. Like, if it's not for me, I do not want it, because there's other things that's attached to that thing that I don't want. You know what I mean?
There's someone told me this before. Rejection is divine protection.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I've learned that the really hard way. So, yes. Times 10 to that.
I love that we got to talk about this. Yeah. And 100% with going with the flow, you know, for a really long time, I was the same way. I'm still kind of the same way, where control, that's how I was raised, right? In a very controlled environment with controlling people. And so I thought that's how I had to be. And then this past, I would say 2 years, I'm doing my best, you know, because again, this is like years of control in our families, that I'm trying my best to just go with the flow and be flexible, especially raising a toddler. There's not that much you can control with a two-year-old. So.
Yeah, it's the best way to learn. But you know what I realized too? I think it's also vulnerability. Like, I think letting go of that, the image of what you are supposed to look like or supposed to be or supposed to do, you know, like Filipinos are very prideful. Or at least the one that I was around, where it had to look a certain way, or you couldn't talk about certain things because you would look a certain way. And, you know, I don't care anymore. I'm just like, you know what? I love who I am. Why should I be ashamed of that? Am I perfect? Absolutely not. But no one is. And honestly, life is a journey. We're going to have ups, we're going to have downs. And that's what makes life full. And I'm okay with it now. Done so much healing to be able to understand that. And that's just where I am. Like, be vulnerable. Be okay with letting go of the control of what you think things are supposed to be, because there's freedom in that. That's what's free. That's when you're free, when you're not trying to control every move. Ooh, I remember the day, and I was like, fuck perfection. What is perfection? Who's going to tell me what perfection is? I believe that life is about perspective and perception. So wherever you are in your life, it changes. There is no perfect. I'm perfect in my imperfections. If you want to bring perfect into this, then I'm perfect in the imperfections of who I am. Like, I'm just done. I couldn't stand the pressure of having to live up to society's expectations. I was done. I was like, you know what? Fuck this shit. I'm gonna be myself. I'm done.
I love that. Honestly, yeah, culturally, we have this pressure to look a certain way, to live a certain way, to believe in certain things. And 100%, it's stifling our freedom to be when we are trying to be another generation's definition of perfection. And as the new titas, as these new titas and a new generation, I want to say progress over perfection.
Yes, yes, yes.
And whatever, define progress however you think that is. Because like you said, everyone's perception of progress is going to be different. So progress before perfection. And be free to be who you are. Don't allow any other people to tell you what to be.
Yeah. Yes. As long as you're not hurting anybody. And
yes,
you're,
that part.
There are some rules.
Yeah.
Be disrespectful. No, no kidding. Just don't hurt anyone in the process. If you operate in love, it's fine. There's no right or wrong way to do it. And another thing is, you're going to get to where you're supposed to be. I've told my son, even since they were little, I said, listen, you're going to get this lesson at 8, or you're going to get it at 16, or you can get it at 50. But at the end of the day, you're going to get the lesson. I said, so I feel like you should just learn the lesson now, but take your time. And they sit there. I wish you could see their faces. They're like, what just happened? They're like, what are you talking about? And that's what we use every time we've had to say something like more than twice. We'll be like, okay, so we're going to learn this lesson now, or we're going to learn it when we're 30, 40, 50, you know?
I love that because, one, it comes with the wisdom of only a mother. But also, it's true. Do you want to live life learning this lesson over and over and over? And think about the decades of pain you're going to go through learning this lesson. And this is the same thing I would tell my clients, you know, because I believe in law of attraction. And why does this keep happening to you? What is the common denominator here? You. So learn the lesson, break the pattern, learn the lesson, move on.
Exactly. And I learned that through experience. I was very, very stubborn. I think I'm still stubborn, but I'm working through it at least now. Before, I was just blindly stubborn and I didn't care. And so I realized one day, I was like, oh, I just went through this at this time. And then this time I was like, okay, so I think I need to learn this lesson now. So that's why I told my kids, I was like, I'm trying to help you sooner. I mean, no one taught me that. This is something that I learned. So I'm just sharing some wisdom with you when saying that.
100%. I believe every experience we have is an opportunity and a lesson.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All right. What other projects are you working on?
I'm excited to share that I am working on Joe Bataan's memoir, and I'm also working on a documentary for him. So I'm really excited to share those two projects that I hope will come out in October. And the reason why we're fast forwarding everything is because if you speak to Joe or see his shows, he will tell you, you're not promised tomorrow and he doesn't know how long he'll be here. So I'm like, Joe, stop saying that. So we're fast forwarding everything. He is the most beautiful soul. And as a future ancestor, I want to make sure that everyone knows and hears his story because he's amazing. I love that he is Filipino and Black, but the king of Latin soul. It's like he represents everybody. So I'm excited to share that story with everyone. And also, I'm working on a book for a friend of mine, Deirdre Levy, who does NYC Filipinos. She's coming out with this book called Bodega Princess, and it's about a kindergartner who is fighting food insecurity.
Such powerful projects. All right, last question before I let you go. What are you currently geeking over? And it could be anything.
You know, because I just got back home from the Philippines, I think I'm geeking over our art and our culture and our history. I know that sounds probably silly and mundane, but I really am. I went to the Ayala Museum and I just didn't know that all of these artists existed for us. I learned more history about just our textiles, everything. So I think I'm still processing all of that stuff, if that makes sense. I was just floored at us having our own. I grew up with African art or Spanish art or Mexican art. You know what I mean? Like the art that was in there. And now I know why I'm so dark. I like twisted in mind. I was looking at all the artwork. And I'm like, wow, I'm like, we have some really dark artists, the art that they were coming out with. And it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
All of the wars that were fought, all the colonization, dealing with all of that, it makes sense. And that was very healing for me too. Because sometimes I would be like, wow, why am I so twisted and think in some of my thoughts, you know? And then I'm like, oh, I'm like, here is why. Got it. Okay, cool.
It's probably generations of traumatic ancestral trauma and pain.
Exactly.
That's why.
And you see it. And when I saw it, it all clicked. And I was like, this is why we are the way we are.
This is why the work that we do is important. So here's some flowers. Here's to you and the work you do, Kat. Thank you so much for being on our podcast and kicking off season two. It's such a powerful episode. We really appreciate you. And we can't wait to see all the future impactful, powerful work that you do.
Thank you so much for having me on here, for the work that you do and the meaningful conversation that we just had. It really inspired me and fueled me for the day.
So as we jumpstart season two, I love how this conversation naturally took a turn and talked about toxic titas. I mean, I think we've all been there growing up. We always have that one tita that always has to comment on your weight, who you're dating, why aren't you married yet, or where are the grandkids? So in my conversation with Kat, I love that she spoke on the importance of adopting a new approach to mentorship by becoming this new generation of titas. She emphasized creating a safe space for the younger generation to be free to be themselves rather than striving for perfection and rather promoting progress over perfection. Sometimes that progress often involves allowing room for mistakes, learning from them, and moving forward as human beings, emphasizing the value of resilience and growth over unrealistic expectations of this flawlessness that we put on ourselves. I always say this isn't your tita's podcast, but maybe I just need to say we are a new kind of tita. The loving, the unconditionally loving tita that allows you to be who you are however you show up. We also talked about this idea of strength in our ancestors, which refers to this recognition and appreciation of the resiliency, the wisdom, the values, and experiences passed down through generations from our own ancestral lineage. It also acknowledges the strength and perseverance demonstrated by those who came before us in the face of colonialism, adversity, hardships, and challenges. I think when we embrace the strength of our ancestors, it helps us connect more deeply with who we truly are. It helps us to find meaning and direction. It helps us to build resiliency and cherish the past and paths that have shaped us. I also love how Kat included the word grace on our path to rediscovering our own heritage, reconnecting with our culture, and redefining who we are through our ancestral journey. This conversation is a great reminder for us to approach this journey with kindness to ourselves. It doesn't need to look perfect. It can be messy, and accept us for where we are. As long as we have this willingness to learn and grow, we're doing the work, and we should be proud of that. You can buy Kat's book, Kalayaan, on Amazon, and listen to her Future Ancestors podcast at futureancestors.tv. Cultural Cultivators is hosted by me, Nicole Salver. You can follow me at Kindred Kapwa or follow us at cultural.cultivators with a K on Instagram. This podcast is co-produced by John Reyes, Kindred Kapwa, and Belai Creative, and it is a product of Cultivate Labs. Stay in touch at belaicreative.org.